Grail. BBC Somerset.
Thank you for all your questions that have been coming in. Real variation and really good detail as well. It's not easy to talk about your money. Do you find this when people come to you, Dave, that it's it can be quite, I find it quite embarrassing sometimes, because when you're in debt, you think, oh, people are going to think I've just been irresponsible.
Yes, there's two kinds of people. Those who say the money I have in savings, it's so small, it must be embarrassing you seeing me. And also those who have debts who sort of feel embarrassed about it as well. And it's part of a financial advisor's job is to put people at ease and to help them to talk openly about what their plans are and try and help them achieve them.
That's why I'm really pleased that so many of you are getting in touch this morning, because it's not an easy thing to discuss, but we're trying to get you some advice, some help today. And Dave Penny is here from Invest Southwest. He's an independent financial advisor from Taunton. He's our money man. Emma called you Dave the Money Penny.
What a wonderful name. I'm so proud of that.
Yeah, I bet you are. 0345 303 1566 to call with your questions this morning. That's what Maureen's done. Maureen, good morning. You're in Somerset, aren't you?
Good morning, Ben, yes.
Nice to speak to you. That's all right. Dave is here. He's ready to answer your question. It's a good one. Go on, fire away.
The pension bond. Now, let me start. I'm 74 years old, and I have my money dotted around in building society accounts, etc., an ISA bond, instant access ISA, and I've got some premium bonds. But I want to, obviously, save some money for when I'm not here anymore, so if my son's doesn't have to foot the bill, so to speak. So the pension bond that's on offer at the moment, is that a good way to put my money or what?
Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning.
Good question. I guess the first question to ask you back is, how might you spend that money and when might you spend it? Is it all just for your beneficiaries or might you during your lifetime spend some?
I don't envisage spending anything, but I've got a bit tied up in a pension bond.
Right. So you're fairly confident the money you're talking about consolidating in the building societies and the ISA bond and the premium bonds and so on, you're fairly confident that you will never need to touch that during your lifetime?
Oh, the premium bonds, I should probably add to them, but hopefully I'll win. it's just the instant, not the instant access, it's the ISA bond I've got.
I see.
That won't be touched. Now, I'm not sure whether it's better to put that in one of the bonds that the government have just done, or whether to put it into a life insurance or a funeral plan.
Yes, well, there's a few questions.
No.
The one thing I would suggest firstly is, if you have money in ISA, which is tax-free,
yes.
Are you a taxpayer?
No.
Okay, well, that negates that next question. If you were a taxpayer, then the ISA is very attractive. If you're not, then having money in the new over 65s bonds in the national savings, that's not a problem, because you can get the tax back.
Uh-huh.
So yes, consolidating into one investment such as those over 65 bonds makes sense. The rate for 3 years and even for 1 year is very competitive.
Uh-huh.
If you don't think you're going to want to use the money on your death, that money will be passed through your estate per normal.
Yes.
So I can't see a major problem with what you're saying. I guess the one proviso being, I assume that you want no risk to the investment. Is that right?
Yes.
I
do.
In which case, the pension bonds, they do look very attractive. Mm. Yeah.
Right. Before you go, can I ask you something else?
Go on, Maureen.
I have a special needs, a chap with Down syndrome, and the accounts, he's got a investment account with what used to be the, what are they called now? National Savings and Investments. He's got some money in there.
Mm.
And
is this your son, sorry, Maureen?
Yes, he's my son.
Okay.
And he's also got some in an instant access thingamajig. And he's also got his own account. Now, these are joint accounts because he's not able to handle his own money. I've been ill for the best part of 3 years, so my son opened up, my other son, an account for him at the trustee bank up the road here, and all his pensions go into that. But his savings are still in my name, which may complicate things when I'm not here anymore.
Absolutely, that will complicate things.
The thing is with Michael, I've never been able to find anything that he can't have insurance because of his condition.
Mm, yes.
It's ridiculous, really, because he's very healthy.
Yes.
And so I've got to think of something long-term for him.
And you've done quite a good halfway house by having joint accounts, because of course you and your other son can run those quite effectively.
Yes.
But you're right, of course, if you pass away or lose capacity, then that money in your name will form part of your estate, and
yes.
it's not his money legally, and that could cause real trouble.
Well, this is what I'm worried about, you see.
What you need to consider, Maureen, is having somebody to act as an attorney for Michael. You need to have someone with powers of attorney.
Yes. I've got them at the moment, but of course after Sophie, I've been unwell, so
yes.
My eldest son and his wife are dealing with it.
You probably need to add at least one other attorney to that document, so that if you go, there's your other son, and even if he becomes incapacitated, there's somebody else. It's so important to have an attorney acting. Otherwise, the Court of Protection gets involved. It's very expensive and time-consuming and stressful. So the answer is having lots of attorneys in place.
Maureen, thank you so much. That's a really interesting point there, Maureen in Somerton. And just to go back to Maureen's original point, I mean, I'm glad that came up, because that is a situation that some people will find themselves in, thinking about other people. If you've got someone that's disabled in the family, there are considerations.
Yeah.
On the point of bonds, I just want to bring in Richard's text. He's got in touch to say, we put £10,000 into premium bonds. Although no interest, we have £25 a month. Most months, he says, better than a bank. You have views on premium bonds.
It almost certainly is better than a bank, because the current accounts don't tend to pay anything much. What I would suggest, and I have plenty of clients who have an affection for premium bonds and come and say, Dave, I'll get £25 here, £50 there, the occasional £100, that's good, isn't it?
Mm.
It might well be. The overall rate of premium bonds, we know, is extremely low. I think it's 1.something%, including the £1 million. If you're one of the lucky ones who gets more than that, well, good for you, and I'm pleased for you. I would suggest you do the maths. Over the last 1, 2, or even 5 years, add up exactly what you've had in prizes, and then work out the interest rate over your £10,000. From what you've told me here, it's perhaps 2.5%, which is, you know, not the best in the marketplace, but quite competitive. You might find over a longer period it's significantly less than that.
But you might win £1 million, Dave.
You might win £1 million.
You might get that big windfall.
And in which case, I would lose the argument.
Do the maths is the question.
Yeah, do the maths.
Because that's the case with anything, isn't it? Because it's personal circumstances.
And emotion can get in the way. So many people are really affectionate towards their premium bonds. And I often say, if you've got £30,000 in them, perhaps reduce it to 10 or to 5 and have the rest of it working properly for you.
Okay. Dave Penny's with us all morning. Ask your questions, please. He's here. And he will tackle anything you throw at him. 0345 303 1566. We're off to the Yeovil area next. So if you're in Yeovil or there or thereabouts today, some money-saving opportunities for you on the way. In for Dave, our independent financial advisor from Taunton, who's been answering your queries this morning. Mark in Newport asks, Dave, I'm struggling to stay in work, cutting down to 3 days a week because of ill health. My work has told me if I go on medical grounds, I might be able to get some or all of my pension. The only problem is they can't tell me until I go. I can't afford to finish. If I don't get anything, is this right?
Do you know, Mark, I'm sorry to hear this. It's probably more of a human resources question than a financial advice question. I imagine that these folks will say, well, either you do or don't have ill health, which either does or does not stop you from working. I think they would probably say it's difficult to say, I may be sick or I may not, depending on how much you'll give me.
Mm.
I think they should be able to tell you what the reduction in your overall pension might be for ill health. That calculation can be made. They're probably just saying to you that they're not going to tell you because of the issue I've mentioned. But I would, if you ask them for a bit of humanity and say, can you please reconsider, I need to do the maths, you'd hope that they would help.
Janine, thank you very much, Mark. Janine Wemden's question for Dave is, I've recently taken flexible retirement, paid off all debts and mortgage, and I've got £13,000 left to save. Should I open a Santander 123, it's very specific, or put it in my First Direct ISA, which has £1,000 in it from a previous year, and a rubbish interest rate? Any advice, most welcome. I'm single.
Well, that last bit of information is very useful, thank you.
Yeah, single person.
with all of your callers about savings and investments questions, I will ask the same question. Obviously, I haven't got Jan to talk to, but you have to ask yourself, how might I use the money and when might I use the money? And if you have to break it into different little bits, that's fine. But if we assume that you don't want to use the money for a period, about Santander and the ISA, Of course, if First Direct have a bad ISA, go and find a better ISA. But the Santander rate, with all of these really market-leading exceptional rates, they disappear eventually. Those offers will go, and they'll have a big current account base. The ISA allowance won't go, and it's tax-free. At the moment, Virgin are doing a 2.5% fixed rate on ISAs with a 90-day notice period. And having money wrapped in a tax-free allowance is very, very useful. Make sure you've got enough emergency cash reserve. And if it was me, not knowing much about your circumstances, Jan, I would keep the ISA allowance and shop around.
Sue in Burnham has called us. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Morning. Morning. Dave's here. So
hello, Sue.
You can just ask away.
Hi, James. I've got a small occupational pension from Somerset County Council. It's not a lot of money. It's more like a drop in the ocean. It's £44.20 a month. Would I be able to take any of that out?
If you have an occupational pension from the council in payment to you now, the answer simply is no, Sue. You can't.
Oh, right. That's that then, isn't it?
That is that. I think even the county council pensions are not funded, so even if you weren't even taking it yet, you still couldn't do anything with it other than take the income.
Right.
What do you want to be able to do, Sue?
Well, I'm worried about next year when we're all getting the same pension, well, so they say, and I'm worried that I'm not going to have enough to pay what I'm paying out now. In fact, I'm probably going to end up with less than what I get now. And I have got a car on bank loan. Well, I've always bought my cars on bank loans, but I've not got a difficulty with paying for it now, but I will have then.
So, you're talking about the flat rate state pension, aren't you, coming in next year?
Yes,
My understanding is that the assurance has been that nobody will be worse off who's in receipt of their pensions already. Is that not your understanding?
No.
Hmm.
Because they have now come out with the idea that some people have not paid enough in contributions to be able to get the full amount.
Yeah, that's for people who are coming up to retirement. I believe it's in payment, I believe that you won't be worse off. There are some, yes, as you rightly say, in the next few years who are about to retire who won't get the full flat rate. I don't think that applies to you. You can always contact the pension service and check that, and I suggest it is worth checking, but I don't think that is correct. I think you'll stay as you are.
Right.
That sounds okay, Sue, doesn't it? Thank you so much for your call. It's lovely to speak to you. Sue in Burnham there. And keep your calls coming in. 0345 303 1566 is...